Around the World Stories presents Maya and the Mountain Man, a story about Germany. Maya closed her eyes and took a deep breath. There was something wonderful in the air, the mountain air. With her eyes still shut and her nose up high, she silently listed in her mind everything she could smell, as she wanted to write it all down in her notebook. Pine trees. Definitely pine trees. Cows. Grass. And salami? Maya opened her eyes and looked down to see her younger brother Felix staring up at her, chewing on a thick stick of pepper salami. "Were you sleeping?" he asked in a purely curious tone. "No, I was trying to figure out what the mountains smell like," said Maya. "I'm writing a story about our trip up the mountain for school, and I'm trying to use all my senses. That's what good writers do." Maya was learning all about writing stories in her class, and this was to be her first real story, The Adventure Up the Mountain. Felix closed his eyes as well and sniffed the air. "Salami," he said. Maya smiled both at her brother's silliness and the fact that her father was next in line to buy tickets for the cable car, and her adventure was about to begin. Her adventure up the Vank Mountain. Probably her favorite place in the world. Certainly her favorite place in Germany. It had been a whole year since Maya and her family had been back, as they came every year in early September. Maya would come every week if she could. Maya checked the sky and grew even more excited. Today was perfect. Blue skies with just enough clouds. And they were fluffy clouds. Not the thin, long clouds that just fade away over the horizon. These were like giant cotton ball pillows, and they were perfectly spread out, like someone had placed them there just so, on all sides of the mountains. "Yes," she smiled, staring up at the sky. "Today is perfect." The sound of her father's voice brought her back to reality.
"Four for the cable car, two children and two adults." €50, bitte," said the man seated behind the window.
This was the same man as was sitting there last year and the year before, thought Maya, who was very good with remembering people's faces. The man laid four tickets on the counter and counted them out.
"Eins, zwei, drei, vier."
"Danke schön," said Maya's father. "Thank you."
As excited as she was, Maya had to remind herself that today was not just a pleasure trip. She was there to write a story, a good story. She tried to remember what her teacher had said a good story needs. A beginning, to set the scene and introduce the characters. That was Maya and her family. A middle, where something often goes wrong. And an ending. Maya decided she definitely wanted a happy ending. But it was the middle that had her worried. After all, what could go wrong on a day like this? Maya would have to use her imagination. The beginning was easy. She decided to start from the moment they stepped onto the train in Munich, the city where she lived in southern Germany. Maya loved riding the trains in Germany. Their family had reserved their own little compartment on the train that had sliding glass doors, curtains, and seats that leaned all the way back until they were flat like beds. And even though it was only an hour ride from Munich to the mountains, her mother let her and Felix go to the dining car to get something to eat and drink. Maya thought there was something very adventurous about eating at a table in a moving train. Today it was apple juice with bubbles in it, and a big soft pretzel roll. Maya made sure to write down in her notebook everything about her snack and what the dining car looked like. She also drew a picture of the train's conductor, a tall, thin man whose uniform seemed two sizes too big on him, like he'd borrowed it from his big brother. The conductor had a long mustache that hung low over the sides of his mouth. In her picture, Maya made the mustache hang even lower, all the way down to his shoulders. This was actually Felix's idea, and Maya thought it was a good one. Maya thought again about her story. Maybe the conductor was really a bank robber, and he was trying to rob the train, she thought. But then that wouldn't really be a mountain story, she considered. Her family was next in line to get on the cable car, so Maya put her notebook away. Each cable car had two benches that faced each other. They had already decided that Maya's parents would face forwards, looking up the mountain, and Maya and Felix would sit looking down the mountain. Looking down the mountain was by far the best view, as you could watch the whole town shrink smaller and smaller, until it looked like a pretend town, with play cars and dollhouses, nestled snugly in the valley with mountains all around. Maya decided she should make a drawing of the town from high above. The car slowed down, almost stopping, for the family to climb inside. Everyone carefully stepped on, except Felix, who jumped in, causing the car to shake a bit. The moment the car left the station, it sped up again on its way up the slope. The shaking of the car gave Maya another idea. What if the cable car got stuck, and they had to climb out? And they made a rope out of their clothes to get down to the ground. That's not quite right either, she thought. Too scary. This is not going to be easy. Halfway up the mountain, Maya saw a group of hikers who were walking down the mountain. Are they walking all the way down the mountain? Maya asked her father.
Sure, it takes a few hours, but it's a beautiful hike. We should do it sometime instead of taking the cable car down.
Maya wasn't so sure about hiking down. It seemed like too long of a walk. And what if they got lost?
As a German, hiking is in your blood, her father said.
He always said Germans were such good hikers because there were so many wonderful places to hike in Germany. Rivers, fields, and of course the Alps Mountains. And the Alps Mountains spread to many different countries. Austria, Switzerland, France, and Italy.
The mountains don't care about borders, her father always said.
When Maya looked back down the mountain, she saw something else. Something rather unusual. A man, a giant man, walking up the mountain with a huge wolf right behind him. He seemed to be moving very quickly, taking big steps with his long legs. Maya kept her eyes on him as long as she could, watching him disappear under tree cover, then reappear again. Eventually, the cable car was too far up the mountain, and Maya lost sight of him. A giant walking up the mountain? She thought. Maya was only halfway done with her drawing of the town in the valley when the cable car arrived at the top. She was very happy with how the mountains in her drawing looked in the background, and how the church steeple rose up in the middle of the town. But she still had to draw all the houses around it. That was okay, since she could just close her eyes and remember what it looked like, to finish the drawing later. The car slowed down inside the cable car station at the top. Again, almost to a stop, but not quite. And the whole family climbed out. Her father did a head count just to make sure nobody was still on the cable car.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier,
he said, counting himself last.
So what's first? He then asked. The views or the food?
Felix made the decision for the whole family and started running towards the restaurant, which sat perched at the peak of the mountain, just up the hill a bit from the cable car station. This was a very traditional German restaurant
with all kinds of alpine mountain decorations, old wooden skis and sleds hanging on the walls, and black and white photographs of people in old-style German clothes. Everything was wood, and all the tables had blue and white checkered tablecloths. The restaurant only served very traditional German food. Bratwurst, schnitzel with spätzle, a kind of noodle, red cabbage and sauerkraut. This was all good, but when Maya's family came to the top of the mountain, they always ordered the same thing. Apple strudel with vanilla sauce and whipped cream. Nobody at the table even needed to see a menu, and Maya's father ordered right away for everyone. Vier Apfelstrudel mit Vanillesoße und Schlagsahne bitte. Once their food came, Maya took a few moments to just look at it before taking a bite. She leaned over and sniffed. This was definitely going on her list of mountain smells and would certainly go into her story. She made a note of it in her notebook, apple strudel. Felix, on the other hand, was halfway done by the time Maya even picked up her fork. She took a bite. The vanilla sauce was warm, as were the apples, and the crust was crispy on the outside and just a bit chewy on the inside. It was perfect. She made some notes in her notebook, being careful not to leave out any of the details, even how the crust was both crispy and soft at the same time. She thought that was very important to include. As everyone was enjoying their food, Maya's eyes were drawn to an enormous figure that just walked into the restaurant. She instantly realized who it was. The giant! Close up, he was even more of a giant. He was at least two heads taller than her father, and twice as wide. His dark brown hair was thick and wavy, and completely covered his ears and the back of his neck, and a big bushy beard covered his cheeks and mouth, and went down to his chest. His arms were as thick as small tree trunks, and his boots were absolutely enormous. As he walked by their table, Maya got a good look at his face. While much of it was covered with thick hair, his eyes were clear and bright blue. He wore brown lederhosen, leather pants that were traditional in southern Germany, and a bright red shirt. As he passed, Maya could feel the shaking of the old wooden floor from his footsteps, and he smelled like pine trees and grass. Just like the mountain, thought Maya. Behind him was a large dog, what Maya had thought looked like a wolf from 50 feet above in the cable car. It was a brown and black German shepherd, and it stayed right at the giant's heels. The man sat down at a corner table, and the dog crawled under the table to lie down. Seeing dogs in restaurants was nothing new for Maya. Dogs were allowed in most German restaurants, and usually just slide under the tables unnoticed. Maya's mind immediately took off, trying to imagine what kind of a person the giant was, and what he did for a job. She decided he roamed the mountain, cutting down trees and carrying them log by log down on his shoulders to the town to sell. When everyone was done with their strudel, the family walked outside. Maya took one last look at the giant, still very curious about him. He just sat there, a bit large for the chair he was in, and sipping a hot drink while staring out the window. The air at the top of the mountain was much cooler than down below, and Maya pulled her jacket out of her backpack. It was time for her favorite part. She ran up a small hill to a specific spot and found the exact place that was the absolute highest. She stood up straight and tall and slowly turned. Germany, said Maya to herself, still turning. Austria. She kept turning. Switzerland. She did it again, saying the same words
and then once more, before getting a bit dizzy. Felix walked up.
"Why are you spinning around?"
he asked.
She pulled him up to the top and had him stand on the spot where she was standing. "Turn slowly and look over the mountains."
Felix turned slowly, just as Maya told him to do.
"Germany," she said, pointing as he turned. "Austria," she said, pointing to the south over the mountains. "Switzerland," she said when Felix was facing west. "You can see all three countries at one time from this spot. Isn't that amazing?"
"Wow," said Felix, not quite sure what Maya meant. Maya took her time to explain to Felix that Austria and Switzerland were entirely different countries right next to Germany, but that they were so high up in the mountains that they could see all the way there.
"The mountains don't care about borders or countries, Felix," she said, remembering what her father had told her. "They just spread wherever they want."
Maya then heard the faint sound of cowbells.
"Felix, come on, they're here!" she yelled, already running off.
As she made her way over the top of the hill, in the direction of the bells, she saw them. About a dozen cows, all with their heads down, pulling off huge hunks of grass, and taking their time chewing it up.
"Teapot!"
yelled Maya as she approached a large white cow with brown spots.
"You know her name?"
asked Felix, still a few steps behind her.
"I named her Teapot because the spot on her side looks like a teapot."
Felix took a close look, squinted his eyes, and turned his head a bit to the right.
"Oh yeah, it is a teapot. Also kind of looks like a bird."
Now Maya squinted and tilted her head.
"You're right, Felix. Maybe that could be her last name, Teapot Bird."
This sounded good to Felix.
"The spot on this one's shaped like a cow,"
yelled Felix, pointing to a smaller cow with one large black spot on its back.
"Let's name him Cow."
The two kids spent time saying hi to all the cows and deciding on their names. Maya wrote down in her notebook all the names of the cows so she wouldn't forget them. She had the idea that maybe in her story, the cows could talk to each other, but not to the people, just to each other. Because, thought Maya, that might actually be true. But then again, it would probably be a bit silly, and she didn't want silly, not for this story. She had to think of something exciting. Then the whole family walked to the other side of the peak, where there was a playground made entirely of logs, and areas to take in the views from the other side. The time flew by, and before they all knew it, it was late afternoon. Maya realized that she hadn't written in her notebook since the cows, and wondered for a moment if she could really make a story out of her day, since nothing really happened besides cows and clouds and playgrounds and strudel. Not much of an exciting story, she thought. Her father picked up his backpack and started walking down to the station.
"Let's get going, it's..."
He stopped and stared at his watch.
"That can't be right. It looks like my watch stopped. We better get going," he said, a bit more serious this time.
The family walked quickly down to the cable car station, and Maya took a moment to look around one last time before they rode down.
"Until next year," she whispered to the mountain.
Her father was the first to reach the station, and he stood in front of the door, shaking his head. Maya ran up beside him and read the sign on the door.
"Geschlossen."
Closed. Maya looked at the opening times that were printed on the window of the door. Last cable car at 5:00.
"What time is it, Papa?"
she asked her father.
"Well, I guess I don't know. I didn't bring my phone and my watch stopped. But since the door is locked and the cable car isn't running, it must be after 5.
"What?" exclaimed Maya. "We missed the cable car?" Maya's father looked at her mother, who had a worried look on her face. "Looks like we did," she said. "I guess we're walking down today."
"Can I ride down the mountain on a cow?"
yelled Felix. His mother shook her head.
"Walking down? We can't do that," said Maya. I mean, I've never walked that far."
"We'll have to," said her father. "If we keep moving, we'll make it down before nightfall." Felix jumped up and down, excited to be able to hike down. But Maya knew that he didn't really understand how hard it was going to be. She was worried about both herself and Felix. Maya's father saw the worried look in her eyes and knelt down in front of her. "Maya, we'll stick together and you'll do great. And I know next year when we come up here, you'll be asking to hike down again." Maya wasn't so sure about that, but she also knew she didn't have a choice. They all tightened their backpacks, double-knotted their shoelaces, and started down the path. The path wound back and forth in a zigzag. It wasn't too steep, and there were even a few steps in the path to use. The trail continued about the same for a while. In some areas, it got a bit steeper, and her parents had to slow down to help her and Felix. After about an hour, her father stopped and looked around. The path split in two different directions.
"Are we lost?" asked Maya's mother.
"No, I know where we are. But I'm worried that it's getting so late. If we don't make it down before sunset, we're going to have a hard time without any lights. It gets very dark here up on the mountain at night." "This path is shorter, but there are a few tricky spots," he said. He looked up at the sky. "But I don't think we have a choice. Come on, kids, we're taking a shortcut," he announced.
"Tricky spots," thought Maya. She didn't like the sound of that.
They walked another few hundred feet before they came to it. A bridge. It was a narrow, shaky footbridge with wooden boards that had spaces in between them.
"Do we have to cross that?" asked Maya.
"Don't worry, Kleina. It's totally safe." Father explained how strong the bridge was, and that it was made from steel cables instead of ropes, and thick pieces of wood that wouldn't break even if you jumped on them as hard as you could. But regardless of how strong it was still a long way down. Maya wasn't so sure she could do it. Father crossed the bridge first, just to demonstrate, even shaking back and forth on the wobbly bridge, just to show how sturdy it was. Maya's mother went next, and if she was afraid, she didn't show it. Maya decided that maybe she was a little scared, as she seemed to hold onto the railing very tight the whole way, but didn't want to scare her or Felix.
"No problem, guys,"
she yelled from the other side, a slight crack in her voice. Next was Felix's turn. To Maya's surprise, he didn't hesitate at all, and he nearly skipped across the whole bridge, and even stopped in the middle to look over the side. Then it was Maya's turn. She took one deep breath as she thought the mountain air might give her courage. And it did. She started walking and went steadily across. Once she was halfway, she realized something. She was still holding onto her notebook. She immediately regretted not putting it safely in her backpack, because now she could only use one hand on the railing. She looked back, unsure what to do.
"You're doing great, Maya," yelled her father.
At that moment, a strong gust of wind hit the bridge, and as Maya stepped forward, the tip of her shoe got caught in the space between two of the wooden boards. She tumbled forward and reached for the railing. Unfortunately, in doing so, she accidentally let go of her precious notebook, and it went flying forward. Maya grabbed the railing and fell to her knees, immediately realizing what had happened. As she stood up, she looked on the bridge, hoping her notebook had landed there. But there was nothing. As she walked the rest of the way to the other side, her mind was full of all the things that were now lost, fallen over the edge and probably ripped up by the jagged rocks far below. Her story, her notes, the drawing of the shrunken town, the conductor with the long mustache, all the names of the 12 cows, which she was certain she could not remember, the description of the restaurant and how the apple strudel smelled and tasted. She made it to the other side with a sad look in her eyes. "Maya, I'm so sorry you lost your notebook," said her mother. "But you're okay, and we'll get you a new one. I'm sure you can replace whatever was in it." Maya knew her mother was just trying to comfort her, but it wasn't any use. She was near tears. There was no way to replace all the work she'd done. She looked over the edge and couldn't see anything but rocks below. The rest of the shortcut wasn't nearly so bad, just a bit rockier and steeper. Maya tried to put the notebook out of her mind, but it was hard. Then she heard it, her mother's scream. Maya ran ahead to see her mother sitting on the path, holding her ankle, her father kneeling at her side. "I twisted it on a rock," she said. She tried standing and took one step before she had to sit again. "I can't walk in it," said her mother. Maya's father stood up and looked around. Then he looked at the sky. Maya did not like the look of concern on his face. "We're going to have to find some help. It'll be dark in a couple hours, and there's no way we can get to the bottom before then. Not with that ankle," he said. Maya's mother slung her arm around his neck, and they slowly walked down the path together, him half carrying her on one side as she hobbled along. As Maya watched her parents slowly walking down the path, she realized that her perfect day was taking some not-so-perfect turns. Maya and Felix started to run ahead of their parents, hoping to find someone who could help. They rounded a bend at full speed, and pow! Maya looked up. She'd hit something, something big. She was on the ground next to Felix, who apparently had done the same thing. Was it a tree? A wall? Maya then heard another scream, this time from Felix. "A giant!" The first thing Maya saw were his bright blue eyes, which were as bright a blue as any eyes she'd ever seen. Felix took off running back toward his parents. Maya was speechless.
"It's getting a bit late for you to be up here on the mountain."
His voice was deep and booming, exactly like you'd expect a giant's voice to be. "My mother hurt her ankle, and my father's helping her walk. We're looking for a hut near here to call for help."
"Well, I'm afraid that's not possible," said the giant.
At that point, the rest of Maya's family rounded the turn, and Felix was pointing, apparently trying to convince his parents that he did, in fact, run into a giant.
"You folks need help?"
the man called out, taking a few huge steps to greet them. "Her ankle's hurt," said Maya's father. "Any idea where a phone might be? I remember there used to be a hut near here. I think she might need a doctor."
"Well," boomed the giant, "the good news is that the hut is just ahead. The bad news is that there's no phone. I never wanted one. Doesn't have electricity either."
"That hut is yours?" asked her father.
"Sure is," he said. "I'm Manfred Werder, and this is my dog Francis. We use the hut in the summer. Let's get over there and take a look at her leg."
The giant lifted up Maya's mother like a parent would lift a small child, and began carrying her down the path. Maya's father was a bit shocked, as was her mother, but both were grateful for the help. One more turn down the path and the hut came into view. It was small, at least compared to the size of its owner. It was all wood with a tile roof and a pipe coming out the top with gray smoke. There was a window on each side and appeared to be well cared for. There were flower beds under the windowsills and a small vegetable garden on the side. The inside was very simple. There was a table with one chair and a small desk with an old-fashioned typewriter on top and a wood-burning stove in the corner. A ladder in the back led up to a loft area, and Maya could see hay hanging over the side. The dog walked right in and through a small doggy door into another room. The bed in the corner was neatly made with an older but beautiful quilt on top, and the rest of the room was as orderly and clean as can be. The man gently set Maya's mother on the bed and lifted up her foot to examine the injury.
"Looks like it's just twisted. Not bad. She'll be all right in a day if she stays off it," he said.
Her father took a deep breath. "Any idea how we can get down the mountain today?" he asked.
"No way. Like I said, I've got no phone. And there's really nobody who could come up here anyway. But you're welcome to stay here the night. I'm guessing she'll be able to walk in the morning."
"We wouldn't want to trouble you," said Maya's mother.
"No trouble at all. I don't get many visitors," he said.
Her parents accepted the generous offer to stay the night. Before long, it was very, very dark on the mountain. And with no electricity in the hut, Herr Werner lit two gas lamps that hung on the walls and a candle on the table. Felix and mother had fallen asleep, exhausted from the hike. Her father sat at the table, reading a book by the candlelight. It was very quiet and very peaceful. Maya had been building up her courage to talk to Mr. Werner, to find out more about him. "Herr Werner," she finally asked, "can I ask you what you do up here on the mountain all day?"
"Good question, Maya. I'm a writer," he said.
Maya's eyes opened wider.
"I write books and stories for magazines, mostly. I type them all on that typewriter there."
"Wow," she said. "I'm writing a story about my trip up the mountain. At least I was until I dropped my notebook off the bridge today."
Now Herr Werner's eyes widened. "Ah, so that was your notebook."
He reached into his thick green canvas backpack and pulled it out.
"You found it,"
whispered Maya excitedly, trying not to wake everyone up.
"Well, Francis found it, actually. You can thank him in the morning. He did put a couple teeth marks on the outside, but didn't ruin any of the pictures," said Herr Werner. "I hope it's okay I looked inside. The drawings are wonderful, especially the ones of the train conductor in the town below. And you've made great notes, very good detail. You're on your way to a great story."
He handed Maya back her notebook, and she flipped through it. He was right, none of the work was damaged.
"But it's not a very exciting story," she said after looking through it. "There's no middle, just playgrounds and strudel and cows."
"Not an exciting story," whispered Manfred.
He took the notebook from her hands and closed it.
"Why don't you just tell me about your day?"
So Maya did. She told him about the smell of the mountain air, and how she saw him from the cable car coming up the mountain with a wolf, and again at the restaurant, and how the floor shook as he passed, and how he smelled of pine and grass. She told him how her father's watch had stopped and how she was scared to hike down the mountain. And she recalled how she felt as she crossed the bridge and lost her footing in the gust of wind. Finally, she remembered how confused she was when she and Felix rounded the corner and fell onto their backs, having run straight into Herr Werner. When she was done, she smiled, and Herr Werner handed back her notebook.
"Now that's a story," he said.
Maya could hardly sleep for all the memories in her head. Thinking back about her day, she realized how many times she'd been brave, walking down the mountain, crossing the bridge, even asking Herr Werner what he did on the mountain. She fell asleep thinking how happy she was that she did all those things. She dreamt of the mountain. She dreamt that Herr Werner was 20 feet tall and carried her whole family down the mountain. She dreamt that Francis was as large as Teapot the cow, and that Felix was feeding him pepper salami and apple strudel with vanilla sauce and whipped cream. When Maya awoke, she immediately began writing down more and more ideas for her story. Some were true things that happened to her, like the bridge and running into Havana. Others were things that she created in her imagination. The cows talked to each other, but not to the people. And Francis wasn't quite as big as Teapot, but he was close, and he loved apple strudel. The rest of the hike down the mountain that morning was lovely. Her mother's ankle was much better, and the sun was shining again. By the time the train got back to Munich, Maya had written her story, her very exciting adventure, Maya and the Mountain Man.